Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart here. And I think one of the most amazing stories that I've covered in, gosh, since Richard and I've been working together 2008, one of the most amazing stories was the Michael Tobes Library Plaza is set to open this weekend. And the story is incredible. I don't know who turned me on to this, a couple of weeks ago, I got in touch with Lauren Trujillo, and she is the executive director of the Santa Barbara Public Library Foundation. And I called her and I said, I really, really want to talk to your gang because I see this as, well, first of all, I'm an architecture nut. And I love the outdoor space there. And I've always looked at that space and said, you know, something should be done here. It's so incredible. The space is so interesting. And then it was like, it sort of went downhill and, you know, all this sort of stuff started happening. Wasn't all that great, that space. And then suddenly it comes to the attention that it is going to be turned into a community center in many, many ways. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to introduce Lauren to the show. And like I say, executive director of the Santa Barbara Public Library Foundation. In her role, she's helped raise over $6 million for the Santa Barbara Public Library. She came to Santa Barbara to attend UCSB. She received a BA in history, master's in library and information science from UCLA. And she started work with not-for-profit organizations in Santa Barbara, for example, the Women's Fund, United for Libraries, Women's Literary Voices, Association for Fundraising Professionals, Environmental Defense Center, Junior League, etc., Downtown Organization, Northside Optimist Club, Fund for Santa Barbara, Grant Making Committee, and Santa Barbara Foundation Collaboration for Social Impact. So if that doesn't prove to you that she's involved in our community, I don't know what would. Not only that, you people are listening on the radio cannot see how gorgeous she is on top of it. And a special guest, Janet Karufis, is here, Michael Tobes Library Plaza campaign co-chair. And we should have like Richard do a da-da-da-da because this is Janet's 20th anniversary with Montecito Bank and Trust. She joined. There's Richard. She joined the bank in 2004. And so this is to the day 20 years that Janet's been with the bank. And we were talking about all the neat things that the bank does outside of being a fantastic bank. For example, the M Club and the things that Maria brings to the, you know, to the community through the bank. And so Janet's 20th anniversary with the bank is today. And we'll talk about that, but we're also going to talk about the fact that, you know, she is the Michael Tobes Library Plaza campaign co-chair. What I think is really fun about this bio that I was reading with Janet, that she started, I didn't know this, and she's been such a fixture in our community, and you always see her and her name and what she does for the community. 50 years ago, she joined Security Pacific Bank as a teller. And she rose to the ranks of retail banking. She completed their training program. And then she started in retail banking, business banking, private banking. And then she decided, and this I was asking her before the show, she decided, I'm going to retire from banking in 1998. She moved to Santa Barbara to pursue a PhD at the university here. And then somehow she wound up back in banking in 2004 at Montecito Bank and Trust. And the rest is history. 20 years, Janet.
Yes, ma'am. That's 20 years of my career, I'll tell you that.
That is fantastic and a real role model, I think, for women in finance, too, in this town. Things you don't know about Janet, she has an organic vegetable garden and she has two rescue terriers. We'll have to talk about that. I have a rescue Dachshund that's, I don't know if you see the little dog in the background.
For her, that's, walking around.
That she, well, that's a he, Janet. He is fairly new. He came to us in January, and we have our trials as far as, you know, we don't know what his previous life was. And so there's some issues there with like barking at the mailman and peeing in the house and all that, you know, the usual rescue stuff.
That's right.
Yep. And I also have with us Jim Jackson, and Jim is a Santa Barbara native. Family has been in Montecito for 100 years. I just think that's impressive. 2001, currently vice president and COO for Solvang's LSL Guest Ranch and Resort. This is a family business. I've been there. It's gorgeous. It's a family business started by his grandfather in 1946. Wow. Very cool. He supported the Santa Barbara Public Library Foundation by co-chairing the campaign to rebuild the children's wing of the Santa Barbara Public Library, and is the co-chair of the campaign for the Library Plaza. So I was saying many, many, many things about all of the board membership he's had: Braille Institute, Cancer Center, Cancer Foundation, Direct Relief, Laguna Blanca School, Capital Campaign for All Saints by the CS Episcopal Church, Child Abuse Listening Meditation, Calm, all these board chairs, and of course now co-chair of the campaign for the Library Plaza. What is so cool about this is all of the uses that the plaza is going to contain. And maybe we could start the show, Jim, by you telling us a little bit about how this all started and all of the functions that the plaza will serve for the community.
I think what this goes back to is that you talked a little bit earlier about how you looked at the space in maybe 5 or 6 or 8 years ago and thought it had potential. Well, we had been thinking about that for a long time at the library. In fact, it is more than 15 years ago when this concept first came up, and trying to figure out, well, how can the library have a plaza in front of it that's more workable, more usable, more like what the original library plaza was built when the library was first built 100 years ago. So that was an idea, and it was a frustrating project because in order to get this part fixed, there were so many other things we had to get resolved first. There was an issue with the elevator. There was a lot of question about how big a project this could be. But the original idea was to make the plaza again part of the series of paseos in Old Santa Barbara that linked the town together to make the place a real vibrant part of downtown, to where there could be community events, there could be an extension of the library itself, and programs happening outside with kids and everybody else. So the original intention of the library was to be a community center for everybody, and that the plaza was an integral part of that, to make sure that you could see the entrance to the library and the original beautiful architecture from the library, both in the plaza and in the building itself. So that was kind of frustrated by the fact that in the 80s, the remodeling of the plaza was done, and a lot of planters were added, and a lot of hedges and things, which made the integrity of the plaza less than it was before. And it was you couldn't really tell it was a plaza because it was interrupted by all of these different elements. So to bring it back to life as a real plaza where it could have so many different uses was our intention. And we decided back in 2013, however, to do the children's library first because of the huge need for a very undersized children's library, and that took precedence only because of the extreme need for that. That took us 2 or 3 years to raise money for, and that opened in 2015. And that after that happened, the use of the children's library more than quadrupled. So that just is an example: when you have the right space, there is a demand for use, and that same thing applies to the plaza. If we have an open plaza that is in the middle of downtown Santa Barbara, in the place where it is, there's so many different uses it can fulfill and really make a return to vibrancy for downtown Santa Barbara. So I think that's part of the big picture. It took us a while to get this done because, as you know, the art museum was doing their renovation, and during that time, there was a couple of years where there was all their equipment was staged on the plaza, so we had to have fences around the plaza for that entire time. And then after that, it took several years to get this project done, approved, done, and built. And that was where I would say, talking before about Lauren being a person who saved the day, I'd say she was the one who actually had the patience of a saint to go through the changes and the problems with a contractor that may not have quite been up to the task in this particular case. And that took a lot of patience because the project was more than a year and a half behind, and there were so many changes and problems. So it takes somebody like Lauren to be able to not get frustrated, not give up, and keep the pressure on the city and the contractor to make sure that project came to fruition. And as you'll see now, it's a beautiful space, but it took some doing.
So I just want to say that the program is prescient, timely. I hope the radio show today, because this Sunday, Plaza Palooza is happening, official open to the public, a day-long event hosted by the city and the Library Foundation. From noon to four, people can catch a glimpse of what will be the first of many events in. So there's 100, there's 10,000 square foot space there, and on Sunday, we're going to have, gosh, the Faulkner Gallery's turquoise doors are going to be open for to the public the first time in years and years. Performances by State Street Ballet, Flamenco Santa Barbara Symphony, Franklin Elementary School, Folklorio Academy, and the Santa Barbara High School Jazz Band, amongst other things. Dave's Dogs, Eulabia's Kitchen, Santa Barbara Bubble Guy's going to be there. Kid-friendly event. So this is happening this Sunday coming up, November 3rd. We all need something like this before we have November 5th happen. And I'm so excited
Thank
that
you.
I know it's going to be great. And I want to just mention two things that really sprung out to me. I want to hear more about the Egyptian Sunburst Poppy mural by John Gamble. And I want to hear more about the 1925, no, 24, Carlton Winslow doors. Those two things are, those really caught my attention. I can't wait to see them on Sunday and see, see. Maybe, Lori, can you talk about those two things, the mural and the doors for me?
Yes, I'm happy to add into that. Thank you so much for having us here, and thank you for all the accolades. But really, there were so many hands that helped make this lift, and I do want to give extreme credit to these incredible leaders in our community, Janet Grufis and Jim Jackson, who've taken on so many campaigns to make a difference for our community. And I'm beyond grateful for what I've learned from these two high achievers. But speaking to the tympanum and the John Gamble sunburst, I will add that at the plaza opening, there will be two tours offered at 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. of the library, the new renovations. And you'll hear from the library historian, Jace Turner, about more of the history of the building and the various construction pieces. But Carlton Winslow in the tympanum above the historic door on Annapurna Street, with the new design, you really can see this tympanum for the first time in a long time. This was the original door to entry for the library, and so many people remember coming into the library via those doors. I love hearing Jim's story about accessing the library through those doors and going into the lower level of the library and doing microfilm research growing up. But now you can reimagine those doors for new programming. They've been restored by a local restoration group, and the tympanum is a Christian door style, and it depicts the center of city's in the center the city's coat of arms and two Spanish ships sailing the ocean. There's also ancient Greek philosophers featured in the tympanum, and the shields above them represent four major European libraries founded from the 11th to 17th centuries. This was created by Carlton Winslow in 1924, right before the earthquake. So really beautiful tympanum. The John Gamble sunbursts were done in 1930 to highlight that 1920s Art Deco theme with the Myron Hunt design of the space. So also restored recently, just in time for this opening. And I really encourage the community to come out, check it out, drive by the library. It's a beautifully visible building now. And the community and visitors to Santa Barbara will know this is our library, and this is a new grand feature of our cultural arts district for all to come and see.
What's so interesting, Lauren, is the momentum that this has garnered, because I was hearing that you know, the International Film Festival is thinking of or will open a cinema center at Fiesta Five, and that there'll be some changes in the farmers market, et cetera, where there's going to be like a little bit of a fulcrum of energy around the plaza. You know, and I just think this is amazing. And I refer back to your undergraduate degree as a historian. The tours between two, no, there's going to be one tour at two and one tour at three?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so
you'll
how
meet
do
in
people
the lobby, and you can sign up for the tour there of the library.
Okay, so do you meet in the lobby right at two and right at three, or do they need to pre-register or anything like
meet
that?
Meet in the library right at two and three. We'll also have a sign-up sheet to try to catch people early to get them to take first priority.
And then, Janet, I wonder, can you tell us, I know that, of course, the great Michael Tobes, it's an honor that was given to him to name the plaza after him, but this is kind of an interesting feature of the plaza itself. And I don't know exactly if I'm asking the right question here, but is it like a private public partnership in some way? And the fact that Michael Tobes' name is front and center. Tell me more about that decision.
Sure. Jim and I had already been engaged as the co-chairs of this campaign, and we were just in the formative stages. And I got a phone call from Bob Basin, who is a fundraiser extraordinaire in our community, then retired in that capacity. And he said, you know, Janet, I'm just realizing that Mike's been gone for at least 3 years now, and there's not one institution in this community that has his name on it. And that's just wrong. We, for somebody who has been such an important and impactful philanthropist in our community, and someone who has just championed so many things, and especially the arts district, the cultural arts district, it seems to me that we need to do something about that.
I see.
Richard putting his hand up.
Oh, okay. Richard's, yeah, he's saying we have to go to quick break. Yeah, Janet, that's okay. What I would like to talk about when we get back from the break is, you know, the decision process around that, or was it just as organic as all that, where Bob just said
totally organic. I said, well, Bob, there's a really great opportunity to name something right now, and this is what we're doing. He said, oh, that'd be perfect. And honestly, we brought it back to the committee, and Jim, maybe you could sort of fill in from there. We brought it back.
Yeah, I think one of the other thing that happened was it is hard to raise money for something that is on public property. From private donors. So one of the things that helps do that is tying the property itself to somebody everyone knows and respects. And that's another way to actually prompt somebody to say, oh, I want to give to that project now if it's named after Michael Tobes, because everyone has a positive image and memory of Michael Tobes being involved in so many different things. So it was a sort of a nice happenstance that it was a great idea, even if we hadn't been raising money, but it also helped both the cause and seemed to fit with downtown Santa Barbara based on where it was.
Isn't it wonderful? That is so incredible when, you know, the time is right and the gift of, you know, the name. And then Janet was also speaking with someone, you know, as regards to, okay, this is an opportunity. And then Janet says, well, I got an opportunity right here. And boom,
serendipity.
You know.
I mean, it really was serendipity. And then Bob joined our campaign, which was truly helpful because his expertise was very appreciated. And it was, and there.
Here we are. Yep. I think there. Totally for the community, by the community. And that was really the essence of Michael Tobe. So it was a call to many people to join in the support and honor Michael Tobes.
And I also think we've been involved in a lot of campaigns. And one thing that was different about this one was we actually had a lot of the nonprofit organizations want to be recognized for contributing their own money to this plaza. Not in huge amounts, but I think we had, how many organizations, Lauren? 40 different nonprofits?
40 to 50 nonprofits contribute to make this
And so they contributed money, even though nonprofits obviously guard their money very, and they're supposed to do that. But it was important enough to those nonprofits to be a contributor to something that Michael Tobes was involved in. So that's a just a testament to his impact on the community.
So let's go to quick break. I want to mention something very quickly when we get back from the break, and that is that Lauren joined or started her position in 2018 before COVID, and all the changes that happened to State Street because of COVID, and how this is kind of, like I say, fulcruming into a really glorious rebirth downtown. And so out of that kind of the ashes of you know, that the lockdown, I guess you could say, and then 2022, I think, was terrible rainy season on top of it, you know, it's like, okay. And all of a sudden we've got this blossoming downtown, thanks to the three of you and many other people too, but the three of you I'm speaking to today. Hey, Richard, let's go to a quick break. When we get back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about the challenges, just a few. Maybe what we'll do is the three of you, I'd like to throw into the mix two challenges and two glorious saves about the project. Okay, when we get back from the break, we'll gossip about that. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. And wow, this is quite the story. And I think what we're going to see is we are seeing already because of the Michael Tobes Library Plaza, which is set to open this Sunday in a library plaza, La Palooza?
Plaza Palooza.
Oh, Plaza Palooza. Okay. And that's noon to four, right at the library. And I just want to stress the tours that are going to happen with the librarian historian at 2 p.m. and at 3 p.m. I just found out during the break, Richard, that library, now you're mentioning, you know, talking with Therese over at Paradise, found how glorious that area is now that that's opened up. The thing is, you know, what we're talking about here is a building that was dating from 1917. If any of you have ever even tried to restore a house that dates from the first quarter of the 20th century, you will know the kind of issues that that must have caused. And before the break, I challenged the three guests I have here to think of one fantastic, think of two near tragedies and two fantastic, glorious near saves or saves. Let's see. Should we start?
I'm happy to start us off.
Okay, do.
I want to lean into the 1917 development of the building. I think there's just a beautiful story from the groundbreaking of the library that really speaks to my challenges and excitement. Back in 1917, Francis Lynde Black pushed to develop the library with Andrew Carnegie funding. We have a Carnegie Library. He contributed $50,000 to help get that project across done and motivated, and then Francis Lynde Black carried it across the finish line. But they weren't set to open the library on the day they wanted to open. And Francis Lynde Black required that they open on the first day of school so that students had a place to go in 1917 when school started. And they, with scaffolding, with banging happening in the library opened in 1917 and students were able to enter and use the library given all the construction issues. And I think that speaks to our library and what we've been through here to get the plaza done and stay committed to serving the community and the community and family members that depend on the library. My biggest challenges that I could lean into and identify would be COVID. Nobody knew that that was coming. We started working on this campaign in 2018. Going through the design process, Historic Landmarks Commission, really focusing on making the space homage to the 1930s design, but also to be a relevant space as a 21st century library. So that was a process to get it to that design that we could all agree on and address the needs of a modern library. And we started pulling community members, getting our wonderful campaign co-chairs activated, and we were ready to go in March of 2020 when everything changed. And we had to pivot to fundraising via Zoom and giving presentations via Zoom and imagining a space with renderings across a screen. And the community rode along with us. They understood the value of the project. They understood acknowledging and recognizing the great impact of Michael Tobes. And we were able to raise $5 million in a mostly virtual capital campaign, which is, I think, one of a kind. And we've been able to share our story with other people across fundraising spaces. And we were amazed with that success. So it was our greatest challenge and a great success. You'll hear a lot of optimism and positivity from me. And this is how we rolled through these changes and various issues that came our way. The other issue that we pivoted through and was a big challenge was expecting to open the plaza last October. We were really hoping to open in October of last year and had to make a big pivot. But I think it was a blessing in disguise with the rains that would come later that winter. And it really tested the space and the new developments where they were able to fix and address those challenges before opening the space. Because had they pushed to open it and not been able to address those concerns, we would be even further delayed. So I again, greatest challenge, but optimistic in how we've been able to pivot that, pivot it with the great leadership of our campaign co-chairs, our volunteers, the Library Foundation's board presidents over the years. We've gone through 3-4 with this campaign. And also the library director, Jessica Gadiente, who carried this project from the beginning to most recently, working hard to keep the library open that entire time, whether through COVID, through the construction. I think that just speaks to the testament of the 1917 opening of just putting the community first in all aspects of this. And we look forward to doing that on November 3rd and putting the community first with this opening.
Excellent. Well said. You know, that's just so interesting how out of the, you know, the some of the minor tragedies that the major tragedies that you're talking about, I was super impressed with the libraries, you know, managing to stay open, and then the triumph of the children's library, for example, and, you know, how that became a real model for what can happen in the community, I think, anyway. Let's see, Janet, tragedies and glorious moments in your mind.
I don't know much about tragedies. I mean, there were certainly some heavy lifts, and Lauren really is the one that we really give her the credit for really doing that. I think one of the really wonderful examples of how one of the last democratic institutions in the country, a library, really represents the whole community is those little bricks, you know, the bricks that are in the, maybe the tragedy is that they ordered the wrong size bricks and then we had to wait to get new bricks. But the bricks are wonderful. When you go out there and you see all of the names of all of the people, it really is, I think, as Lauren would say, it's a testament to the community nature of this institution. And it's very heartwarming. I mean, it's really lovely to see how many people really wanted to be a part of this and lend their support, whether, you know, everybody can do something. And this gave everybody the opportunity to participate. And I think that was really important.
So for you, Janet, it's the observation of, was there 400 bricks? Did I read that?
I don't know how many we ended up with, Lauren. It was quite a few.
Over 275. And they line the new Grand Paseo between the La Arcada, the Art Museum, and Annapamu Street. I think it's a brand new thoroughfare that will connect the community and bring new foot traffic to a very, you know, the heart of our area.
I think that's amazing that little passageway, and then it's like, okay, here we are, and it's a statement. The space becomes a statement all of a sudden, and it didn't used to become a statement. It was, you know, oh, Richard's giving us a sign. We've got to go to quick break. Maybe when we get back, Jim can tell us his high and low of the project. And I got to say, this is just, I think it's going to pull together a lot of disparate entities, as we've seen so far. Jim was mentioning that over 40 not-for-profits dug into their own coffers to support the project, because I think they're excited that there's a downtown space. You know, that's one thing I was mentioning with COVID and the opening up of, you know, by just a couple restaurants at first. And then all of a sudden it was a major landslide of people. Now we have a pedestrian-friendly city. Didn't used to be. And, you know, and now there's another pedestrian-friendly area now with the plaza. So, you know, how cool is that? And Richard, when we get back from the break, Jim's going to tell us a high and low for him. Let's go to quick break. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm speaking with Janet Garufas. Everybody knows Janet, joined Montecito Bank and Trust in 2004. This is her 20th year to the day of being with the bank. Jim Jackson, these two were the co-chairs of the Michael Tobes Library Plaza campaign. And also I've got the executive director of the Santa Barbara Public Library Foundation, Lauren Trujillo, also is here with us today. What I want to hear from Jim is his high and low about the project.
Well, I'll sort of take a step back. Is at the time, for the last couple of years, I was the president of the Library Foundation board. And while this project is a public-private partnership, and we had already had a successful one before with a children's library several years ago, this one started out, and in the backdrop of raising money for the plaza, which all agreed was a positive step forward, the city was at the same time putting pressure on the library's budget, making it harder, even after COVID, to keep the doors open 7 days a week. So our public-private partnership was having signs of being frayed, because we were, on the one hand, supporting the city by raising money for the plaza, but not getting the support we thought was appropriate about keeping the library open 7 days a week. So what happened was, during all that was the low part. The high part was that after all the struggles with the contractor and the changes to the plaza, the city really recognized how important the plaza was and how important the foundation's fundraising actually was. So we got the support of every part of the city administration, and in-person meetings with the mayor, with the city administrator, and the attention level, I think, to this project also reminded them about the importance of the library. So we were able to actually bring support to a city council meeting and allot 40 or 50 members of our volunteers and put the pressure on them to keep to restore the budget and keep the library open 7 days a week. So when we look back now, we have a new city manager who is very pro-library person. We have much more support from the city. So through all the trials and tribulations of getting there, I think we have a place where the city finally recognizes the impersonal impact that the plaza has, the library has, and now I think we're getting traction about getting people to understand the importance of the library itself, and not just the plaza, but the library and the plaza together.
And I want to mention that on Sunday, the November 3rd, Annapurna Street would be closed to traffic along the whole block. You have an opportunity of meeting 50 not-for-profits who are going to have their books there. Friends of the Library is going to host a book sale. And then, as we mentioned, or as Lauren was telling us, there'll be two tours of the historic library, both the 1917 building and the 1930 redo. You'll be able to see that and take the tour on 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Just show up in the foyer of the library, and you can sign up for the tours. I want to talk to somebody, one of you three. I want to know the how the different areas, you know, there's several smaller dedicated areas in the plaza. We've got the Myth and Storytime Square, Woodward Grove, Marjorie Reed's McNeely Community Courtyard, et cetera. Who can tell us about those three and how they that came to be? Janet can.
No, I think we let Lauren talk.
I was going to, Janet shared such a beautiful story today about the Woodward Grove. So I'll let you take the Woodward Grove, but I'll speak to Methuen Storytime and the Marjorie Reed's McNeely Community Courtyard. I think those two areas really speak to families that give back to the community, but care about education at the core. And so the Methuen family has been so dedicated to education, has deep connections to librarians, and not only wanted to see the plaza thrive, but saw the possibilities in the investment this could have in supporting our youth. And what really needs to happen too is an expansion of literacy resources for our community members for all ages. But the Storytime Square will be a great space to enact library programming that reaches learners in new ways. Not everybody learns to read the same way, and the library offers a variety of programs from one-to-one tutoring to stay and play to, and that program is talking, reading, singing with caregivers and little ones, to Wiggly Storytime, where they have 0 to 3-year-olds doing story time, but moving and getting that interaction with reading. So that whole area is really an inspiration for that effort. And then the Marjorie Reed's McNeely Courtyard is this new connecting space between the Larcotta, the library, the art museum, the Paseo connecting Anapamu. It is truly a central gathering space in the community that has been underutilized. Most people would think of it as a parking lot historically, but now this will be blocked off and used as a new programmable space. All summer long, they ran the summer reading program in this corner or in that Marjorie Reed's McNeely Courtyard because the library was dealing with so many renovations. So that was a creative pivot on their part to have interactive programs out on that space. They offered lunch, free lunch to 0 to 18-year-olds every day during the summer. But with that, they had programs to try to draw those kids in for their lunches and have interactive learning opportunities. They brought wildlife. There were alligators. There was a dinosaur day where they dressed up as dinosaurs and interacted with the kids there. They did a car wash day to close out the program. And what that looked like was each little kid built a cardboard car, and then they built a car wash and could drive their cardboard car through the car wash and have interactive water activities. You couldn't do that inside the library before. And that's really what this new space is going to present to the community.
That's wonderful. You know, just made me think of, let's see, how do I phrase this? My sister is in Florida and she's having a lot of issues because she really supports her local library and wants the local library to support the community. And that, you know, we do not have that here in this issue as well with our library. But as a nation, when libraries are taking hits right now, this is such a positive move. You know, this is just amazing when, you know, libraries are in the news, librarians are in the news, and books are in the news. And wow, I mean, and the fact that this is a glory. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention, Janet, I would like for Janet to talk about the other small area that.
The Woodward Grove.
The Woodward Grove. Yeah. Janet, can you address that for us?
I'd be happy to. Taylor Woodward was a really good friend of the Scholarship Foundation. I served on a board with him there. When he died in April of 2020, his wife, Barbara Howder, who was a very big supporter of the library, wondered, was there a way to just, you know, recognize and memorialize her husband? And so that's when the idea came, and she raised a significant amount of money, she and her family, to build the Grove and name it after Taylor. And it was dedicated a year ago. Just a wonderful, wonderful contribution to our community by Taylor, and a great way to recognize him.
You know, I was thinking recently about a month ago, the Architects Society in Santa Barbara, the Architecture Foundation had their tours, and always love attending those. And I'm hoping that maybe that the space, the plaza, can be featured as an architectural wonder. Right now, I think it truly should be. I just throw that out there to the community. Richard, are you saying we got to go to another break? One more break? Okay. Let's go to one more break. When we get back, I want to just shout out again about the events happening this Sunday and for all the community to come out and see this wonderful, glorious new accolade that is based on very old foundations. And Lauren was saying the philosophy of the opening of the music of the library in 1917 is not far cry from the philosophy that she and the board have espoused along the way. So we're celebrating the Michael Tobes Library Plaza, the long, long history of the library and the achievement through it all, through a worldwide pandemic, we managed. Anyway, don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart celebrating. This is just the greatest achievement, I think, in a long, many achievements of the library. But our Santa Barbara Library Plaza, is Michael Tobes Plaza, is ready for the public. It's opening this Sunday. Lots of cool events, 50 not-for-profit booths. You get to see folks come out in the community. A lot of kid-friendly activities. There's going to be music and dance and a kid-friendly area and bubbles and good food, and come out from noon to four, two tours of the library, one at two, one at three, gather in the foyer, and you'll be able to see wonderful things with the librarian historian. And finally, I'd love to find out from Lauren, as far as the future is concerned for the plaza, what kind of things are you most excited about as far as what events you think might bring?
Of course. Well, I'm most excited for what's already on the calendar this year. After plaza opens on Sunday, to really break in the space,
library will be having a market on the plaza to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month and close it out. They'll be having youth-focused booths and bring the Hispanic celebration community together and close out what has been a month of activities and various film screenings and book discussions and children's activities. So that will be a really exciting event to pop off and to come see. Then in December, they'll be doing a local author fair the first week of December. And I encourage people to go check that out. It'll be the first local author fair outside in a decade, maybe. And you'll be able to support our local authors and get your books before Christmas.
Fantastic. And, you know, I was telling you, Lauren, when I first called you, that I had a great opportunity a couple years back, and I wrote a piece for the library book. And then I was able to recite that piece at the library and do read that short story out. And I just want to say to my three guests here, I put myself through graduate school working in the university library. And what was my favorite memory of those days? Well, I worked the night shift. I was the restocker. I put the books back on the shelves and worked through the night so that I could eke out some time to study. And what I remember best is the smell of the books. Absolutely was, yeah, Richard's, yeah, he says yes too. We've talked about this, Richard and I, over the years. That's what I love most about our library is actual the smell of the books. Anyway, congratulations, you three. Long road, but it's here and it's going to happen Sunday. The event is going to be Sunday, November 3rd. Come and take a look at the Michael Tobes Library Plaza, and it's going to be a fantastic day. Thank you, all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really wonderful. Thank you.
See you on Sunday.